Let's see. Yeah, I was heard some statistics about the rate at which energy consumption has been increasing over the last 30 years on this planet relative to the amount of oil being pumped out of the Middle East. And basically, they have not increased production of oil output in the Middle East, like in the last 20 years, but the world's energy consumption has more than doubled. So, which has driven the price of energy up. And of course, all production requires energy at the factory level, at the transportation level, so we should see an inflation that would be parallel to the rate of the increase of energy.
Of consumption.
The rate of inflation has been less than the inflation of energy in terms of the cost of energy. And so Michael was saying there's some kind of disconnect there. He goes, I don't understand what it is, but if inflation occurred at what you would expect it to occur at, given how inflated the price of oil is in the last 20 years, it should be way much bigger than it is. So what's the disconnect?
Chemical body and chip body. The 300 trillion chip is the chip body. And it's really past speed up. And when you go instant, you're not speeding to get there. You've arrived. And you never have to take off to get there. You're there. So a little dollar bill has to cover the whole space that a million transactions before would have taken to get there, even faster ones to get there. Now you're automatically there before you wake up in the morning. So the dollar bill, as McLuhan said, becomes worth $1 trillion. So we got $500 trillion is the way to translate all the transactions that would have taken in earlier conditions to get to $1 trillion. Now happens instantly. So we actually come up with an absurd number, but it does express the infinity of it, of the infinite space of electric. Since there's no container, how big is it? It's bigger than the universe. The space of instant this compression, little chip body, it's not only tiny, it's huge. Because it's bigger than anything previously could contain it. So,
okay,
you follow that a bit?
Yeah, but, okay, here's the what I'm not getting, is that...
Hey, Scott. Are you taping
this? Are you okay?
Yeah.
We'll wait till he comes in. I don't know what he's doing, but I guess he's fixing himself up. Well, I want him to get this on tape. If we're taping, we don't want to disconnect it. Get the full sentence on, you know, so people are hearing it. He's cleaning something.
I've never been to Hawaii.
Ooh. Did you grow up? No, you grew up on the East Coast, right?
Philly.
Right. Have you taped so far, or
yeah,
just started?
No, we're still going.
But what?
It's
you
right there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Go ahead.
Okay. What, well, you don't get, I got that idea, and I see that it makes sense. Okay. Now you also claim that, oh well, we won't have abundance. We won't have a depression.
We end up in this nebulous, unmeasurable zone.
But I don't know. I think we will have a depression because I understand why you say, well, this, all this money, these trillions of money, it's in cyberspace. It's floating around the planet, bouncing from satellite to satellite, from one little node to another node. And it doesn't touch our real lives. It doesn't touch our real...
Quote, real. The chemical body.
The chemical body. Yeah. It doesn't touch our chemical body or our chemical landscape.
Not
but
directly.
It does.
Not
but
directly.
It does touch
yes,
it.
Yes, by effect.
People are getting out of... People are losing their homes. Okay. There's rioting. People are going hungry because of food shortages, prices, blah, blah, blah.
But wait a minute, Robin, I do say it touches the chemical body. Just that it's not caused by Bush.
Okay. Let me say, then what I got to remember is that, okay, then you're saying it touches the chemical body, but because our chemical body is just this small, tiny little piece out of the one, that we won't have a depression in the chemical... We won't have a depression in all of the body terms, even if we have a depression in the chemical body.
Chemical body, right.
Okay.
The chip body.
So you do say we could have a depression in the chemical body.
Well, if you listen closely, I say United States and Britain are fucked. This area is fucked. But my team is fixing in the global chip body economy, and that's for the whole globe. Why should we worry about a little fucking part called the United States or Britain? We took over the guys from those two regions who hijacked the whole thing.
Forget the nationals.
Yeah.
Forget the national. Yeah. I'm talking about people.
Right.
People are there's going to be, in my view, a lot of hard luck stories. I mean,
and I agree. That's what I predict.
I'm looking for some bad news coming down the pipe
as far as the
chemical body.
I predict that for the United States and North America and England, but not for China or India. They already have poverty, and the average peasant lives on nothing.
Okay.
They're starting to grow a middle class. They tell you, when 1/5 of the population is a little middle class in China, that will continue to grow. That is a place where it can grow, because they got so many people. They got lots of room to sell the same old shit they sold here for a long time, plus new stuff. So the organizing of the global economy is not based here anymore. We think it's organized around Wall Street.
But one economist just said it's simply demographics. The baby boomers are past their peak productivity years, leaving a vacuum behind them. So the money and energy is moving to younger countries where their peak capacity is still ahead of them.
Right. The money, the chip body, is processing chemical body industries. Chemical body industries have to salute wherever the chip body says it's depositing itself. So that's what's called imperialism or globalization. But they must follow the American way or forget it. If you got unions, we're not going to drop our money there. The money is nowhere. But when you translate it into chemical body, you say we're going to organize these chemical bodies to work in these factories to make sneakers, then we can claim we got some money from the chip space. So we make up a figure. Got a budget of $50 billion. We'll build 3 plants. Right? And the guys on that level can say that. But then the chip escape is also doing all other things. All of a sudden they build half a plant. Fuck it. We got to go. The larger mandate of chip landscape says we got to go live in Brazil now. Sorry, Mr. Eastern Romania. We can't do you anymore. The oil company, look at them as panicking. They're a subset. They're in the chemical body. They see this global collapse and this global evaporation, so they run to where the oil is and say, well, this is where we came from. We'll just fucking stand here and guard it. And they don't get anywheres with it because there's a larger dimension happening all around them and inside them. So when I talk about the four bodies, the bodies interact with the ground. There still are landscapes. But the sensibility the Android meme is making at the most avant-garde levels is that you're bigger than it. So that's the body is, like you could say, an effect of the landscapes. It's an image that you come up with. But the landscapes are there. Just like they still publish books. More people read, or they publish more books than ever happened before. It's an obsolete medium, but it can be used in the global exchange of all the bodies and all the landscapes as a fill-in medium.
Okay, well, see, I think that didn't come across completely in your interviews on the cash flow.
Yeah.
Because you were saying, oh, we're not going to have a depression, we're not going to have abundance, we're just going to be
but
in
look
this
at the show.
Other place. Right.
John is always interrupting me, which is part of the game, right? There's so many things I'm going along, and he says, oh, I remember when I watched TV, I did this. You know what I mean? You have to deal. I'm not going to tell him, shut up, don't interrupt me. Go along with the interruptions. I'll get to that point next show, maybe. So it's the course of that kind of show, with three people talking, that nothing gets totally, completely said.
Okay, so right? We have these trillions of dollars around the planet in this.
Look at this one. It's not dollars. This is
right.
The thing. It's nothing.
This,
it is nothing.
It's nothing.
And
right.
Yet the literate,
we have
huge
a shadow.
Literate culture. Yeah, the huge literate
shadow.
Culture. 500 years of money, Western private property banks. is a meme. It's an afterimage. And we project our culture. We project our cultural meme of money and property and ownership and individualism and big bank deposits into this void space. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we try to measure it. It's about quadrillion dollars globally. Every now and then, 3 million disappeared. But you can hack it and siphon it off if you know the proper afterimage paper routes and claim it is. But then when the Pentagon announces it, nobody can do anything about it.
Okay,
what does
the
idea
you
of afterimage invoke for you? Does that register?
To me, I think of it like a shadow.
Yeah.
It's like just a shadow of what
it
was
to be
previously.
Yeah, was solid.
We used to have real money. We used to have paper dollars, and they meant something.
Shadow government.
You could call it. You could exchange it for silver. You know, you
could, still can.
You could take $20 and exchange it for one silver.
You can do the old media.
What I want to say is,
you can do the old media.
Okay, we have this after image of all this money floating around, and all these people are investing in this reality.
Projecting the Western meme into it.
We're projecting this Western meme into it,
yeah.
But that does touch, in some sense, us, because it touches our chemical body.
Right.
In some sense.
Because you do have industrial things called banks and accounting firms that are going around measuring this. They're like Indian peasants with their cows. They still relate their cow to whatever new genetic foods is coming in. Our cow is our accountants. And they go, well, how much do you owe us this? According to this, you paid that amount. And we're neurotically adding things up. And then we say, okay, we can lend some money to that person. But this other person didn't pay their debt. You lose your house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you see how we project our own thing in there? Our measurement, our wealth. It's usually
hard. Okay, but there is a reality, because oil is something. Right? Oil is something real. You have to pump it out. You can touch it.
It's only one real thing compared to other real things.
Okay.
The other real things have different qualities of realness. The chip space is real.
But we're sitting in a car that needs oil.
Right.
Well, you're gonna.
Then we turn on the radio, and I can go like this on the phone while I'm driving along.
And this is made out of oil.
Yeah, and if we have a depression, it's going to be out. It's going to be because the price of oil has been inflated beyond. And
why did it inflate?
Well, one guy that I heard talking about this, that makes sense to me.
One guy.
He said that the Saudis, right now, they're pumping 11.
Open some air.
They're pumping 8 million gallons.
Now it's too.
The Saudi.
Put the window open a bit. Okay.
Saudis are sitting on 80% of the world's oil. Now they're pumping 8 million gallons a day. They have the capacity to pump 11 million.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they don't have the capacity to pump 20 million is because they haven't been building new pumps, basically. And they haven't been doing that for the last 20 years in parallel with the increase of the world's energy, because driving the price of gas up, the cash flow, when the price of gas starts hitting, when they start selling us oil at somewhere between $200 and $300 a barrel, their cash flow will be as great as the Fortune 500 companies put together. And the Fortune 500 companies are not going to be able to operate in an environment where people are putting $10 a gallon gas in their cars. They're going to be going bankrupt. The Saudis are going to go in and buy these companies.
Why are you talking about
pennies
Saudis?
Pennies on the dollars.
They should play the line in network constantly every day instead of the flag, you know, the national anthem. There are no people. There are no nations. The Saudis will take the money out and they'll put it back. Ebb and flow. It's a holistic business.
I'm still conditioned to believe that if a country can do it, they will.
No, they won't.
Every country's struggling for power.
In the interface of the chip landscape, there are no countries. There's a committee that runs everything.
There's Saudi Aramco. They're a corporation.
Yeah.
And they're running the show there. But there's a lot of investors.
But who owns them?
There's a lot of investors.
Mr. Westmoreland or Mr. Rothschild. And they don't own everything. They sit on the same committee. Owners, when you're the top of the pyramid, you're part of the committee. And the committee exchanges chips with each other. They came. Okay, you own China.
Okay.
I own North America. I'll let you come over to North America if you let me go into China.
Okay.
All right. So what? Okay, you're not starting. I hope. To focus, you got a training perception for the chip landscape, which is the dark. There are no Saudis on the chip landscape. The committee owns the oil.
But oil, you know, it's...
Do you believe there's a finite amount of oil in the ground?
But I don't think that they're pumping the capacity. I don't think they're pumping as much as they could. They have a oil is a monopoly. There's no competitive commodity. If we had flex fuels on the market, the price of oil would drop overnight. If we had the methanol ethanol, which can be created from sugarcane, coal, grain, immediately. And there are flex fuel cars on the road right now. GM's ready to start putting every car on the road a flex fuel card, but they have no incentive to do it because there's no political mandate.
There's no incentive to do it because it's a fucking obsolete medium. They're taking the money they get from selling the cars and investing in the chip landscape, so they have $1 trillion. It's not because of any practical, efficient, useful, utilitarian thing. Everybody has to stay on the committee of the chip landscape, and to do that, you got to be a quadrillionaire. Okay? That's what they're doing. Keeping the cash flow. They don't care about whatever happens. They know people are going to drive cars. It goes on its own environmental impetus. It's a given.
Well, see, just to get onto this...
Well, diversification.
Visual space kind of facts here, because we are dealing with something real. You know, you're dealing with this hat, or it's oil, so we can talk about the facts surrounding that. And if you say there's a finite amount of oil, which there's a reason to believe that there is only a finite amount of oil, then we can go to the next step and say that there's a lot of evidence that shows that some of the fields, the largest fields of oil that were discovered in the 1950s, are running out, they're reaching their end of life. And the fields that we've been milking for these past 50, 60 years are not producing, and that they are unable to produce the same amount of oil. And in fact, the worldwide has produced the most amount of oil. I believe it was May 2006. That was the maximum production. And since then, we've just slid down a little bit. We're still on this plateau.
Well,
so that physical thing puts limitations. Okay, maybe it's just on our chemical body, but I would say that it seems to me that that's what's going to cause this depression situation.
I think it's Brazil, but it's
not a depression for the chip body.
I know. Well, big deal. If I'm starving, what's the big deal if I can call Bob up and say, hey, Bob, I'm starving, but
my chip body's doing great.
You up.
No, you wouldn't call me up. You just keep listening to your oldies and Bob Marley and Oprah, whatever you like to listen to. You'll be listening to that to assuage yourself.
Okay, but at some yourself. Point you starve and then you die.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Bob, I'm starving.
Okay, well,
I'm starving, but I'm calling you on my
life is that?
Your chip body's
No.
My chip body's fine. Chip, who cares?
Robin, your chip body is causing the conditions that lead to starvation. The chip body is evaporating everything. The effect of the chip body is to kill the chemical body. It doesn't happen immediately, but it looks like it's going to happen in a couple of weeks, according to Walter. I don't know if it's a couple of weeks, but it's so...
The
point
Eli's
is...
Eli's going to come up, and he's going to hoe my field.
Yeah.
And I'm going to plant, like, spinach.
Yeah. And people be raiding you. You ain't going to survive, Rob. You're going to die, okay? So this is what's coming. And I'm telling you why. The forensic analysis of why we're all going to get wiped out. Well, I problem. I'll be in Maui having a good time, right? But you guys will be stuck here. And
I'm up in Humboldt County.
No, you're on land. That's connected to other land and other cultures in South America. You'll be raided. There'll be roaring hordes. But McLuhan said when television came in the 50s, it should have immediately killed everybody. But like an injury, you get hurt, you have numbness, and then, what is it, alarm, and then resistance, and then shock or pain. Okay, stages of pain when you get a disease or get an arm cut off or something like that. You're numbed first. Television cuts off everything, but takes a few decades to wake up from the numb part of the bruise, right? And then you wake up and you go, wow, what's going on? Well, every kid's on drugs. That's the next layer of death.
So it actually would be killed immediately, but we stop it with the collective resistance that our bodies have and our minds have. But that's how serious television is. Now imagine what happens when you bring in the chip landscape. That means immediate apocalypse. And what has been the culture for the last 25 years? Nothing but images of apocalypse, Armageddon, from the Muslims, from the fundamentalists, from this and that. Why are these tribal religious groups, the return of religion, going around attacking irrationally anything? Because they feel the obsolescence, the end of the world, meaning of the chip landscape. That's how devastating a new invention is. Now, we don't believe that. We don't consciously translate that. But the death that's coming, if there's death coming over the next 10 years,
we could stand back, or somebody in 100 years say, oh yeah, they brought in the chip around 1980. And it just killed the chemical body, but it didn't show up till about 20 short years, and then the bodies are littered all over the place.
That's the devastation that McLuhan was saying. That's why he said, hey, let's not talk about it. Let's just turn this off. This is what it's going to do.
I think Robin's concern, at least, I don't want to speak for her, but
she sees oil is causing a problem.
Yeah, and,
no, the chip landscape
too.
Is a bigger problem than oil.
Because, like, in
oil, it gets short because of this chip thing.
Yeah, but
chip makes more consumption. The chip landscape makes people consume more. And what is this? We got more oil produced or no oil produced? What is the basic paradox?
They're not increasing the production of oil and haven't been over the last 20 years, but the world's energy consumption has
doubled. How are they able to meet it?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. In Brazil, they are energy independent. They're running on ethanol and methanol,
okay,
and they grow
it.
They grow sugar cane. They don't care about oil.
Don't bring in Brazil. Don't bring in Brazil. They were making a certain limited amount of oil, and now the world's doubled its consumption of Saudi oil. How come they never had to produce more oil?
Because they want to drive the price up.
The evidence is
that the amount that they do produce does meet the demands. Maybe it just gets eaten up faster. How can they just... I'm only going to make five bananas, and every year I'm going to make five bananas. And every year, 2,000 people are added to my customers. That's what you're saying. They never improve from the five bananas a year.
Yeah. But,
yet,
no.
Yet, more and more people are eating the five bananas. Isn't that what you're saying?
I want to get off the idea.
Isn't that what you're saying? Explain it. That's your main paradigm. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm stuck on an earlier thought that I didn't get to complete.
Okay.
Which is that you tried to trump this idea of the ethanol methanol by saying that they're burning down the rainforest. It's got nothing to do with it.
I never said nothing. I don't think you need to bring in the ethanol. I want to deal with the...
Why? It's an alternative fuel, and if we have energy, I feel, and it sounds like Robin feels, we can survive a depression if we have the energy.
Go ahead.
Keep production going.
Go ahead doing that. But I'm asking you about the initial assumption that Michael says we made five bananas a year, but more and more people are consuming the five bananas, and we only make five bananas each year.
Yeah.
What? How's that happen? What are the people consuming? There's only five bananas,
well,
so five
true.
People. The basic assumption of that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
So he must have meant something else. Let's assume there's some rationality in there. What could he have meant?
Well, what he meant and what I meant was that we were producing enough so that everybody could have their five bananas. We're producing five bananas worth.
And there were five people in the world, and they each got their banana.
But each banana was going from $1 to $2 to $4.
So we have not changed the number of bananas. We've just raised the price.
Right.
Because
more
people are eating.
That's right. It doesn't make sense. Because that should lower the consumption. So how do we justify the fact that energy consumption is up twice?
I find that happens a lot, that you take a fact that people use in some industry, at the bottom there's some fucking illogic in there.
Well, how do you make sense out of it?
Well, you make sense saying, well, the reason people think that's happening is because the mediums change the situation, and they actually are into the old logic, and now that they can understand it, they put it to people. People couldn't talk like that in the 40s. The people talk like this in talk shows. They always call up and say, well, we're producing this amount of oil, it's double consumption. They have all the statistics.
Right.
50 years ago, they would not have those statistics on talk shows. They didn't know enough. They didn't get enough information. But people hear the news enough. So actually, people are using rearview mirror assumptions because they can understand them for something that it doesn't actually meet.
Right.
They can't meet, understand, and articulate the present situation.
See, my thought...
Right? Wouldn't that explain why they're saying an irrational thing as if it's fact?
My thought, which I didn't express to Michael, but I'll express to you, is that you can compensate for the disconnect by saying, well, we're not consuming more energy, but we have a higher level of production output. Why? Because we have more efficient machines. We have more efficient technology, so we can produce more, way more, with the same energy.
Right. So Saudi Arabia made 5 bananas, and then it got translated, 30 years ago into 100 bananas.
Yeah.
Now Saudi produces 5 bananas, and 2 million bananas come out of it.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that means new media have made that possible. New technologies, new inventions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it more efficient. Okay, so now what does that mean? Now, the cost went up. Why are we able to make it more efficient? Because we got chip technology. Goes faster, is more efficient. So the chip technology, the new hidden technology, allowed the old grind of 5 bananas becoming 10 bananas to be more efficient so that 5 bananas could become 100 bananas. Something like that, right? So the technology put the spin on it and made it better. That's why I say we got an amazing technological environment, way beyond any. It's an amazing, beautiful collective art form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very efficient. But we do have our chemical body, we do have our astral body, and we try to figure out, well, what's the chemical body got to do with this? Right? What? I have to go and do this work. She has to teach math, and it doesn't seem to be any apparent reason why that math should be done, or there's nobody to receive it. That's because you got lost in you're in a slower technology. And the older okay.
But just so like
you make
any time in history, you have some students who will excel in your math class. They will go on to the next level, and the next level,
yeah,
the next
some
level.
Some students are like, wow, they will, this algebra is really cool. I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Sure, but it's
and
not,
they will end up.
That's like a few.
Yeah, you're not satisfied with a few. You're not satisfied with just a few.
Like, it's like one.
Yeah, you're watching, man, I do all this to get one person to maybe get the job.
Well, it's like what you said, it's not like, it's like, it's a critical mass, all you need is 75% of the people that are just like zoned out and not into it, and then you realize this is useless. Yeah. I have students come in and they read books. And it's like, wow, they're reading. Cool.
Okay.
And they love reading.
Now, why are you making a big deal out of reading?
Because it's old. It's over. We're post-literate, right? But students come in and they still read. What that means is it's like those. That's a small portion. It's like you say, it's a small portion of the whole communication matrix. Right? So it doesn't have that literacy effect. But it has some literacy effect on some students.
If every student read, would that have, what effect would that produce that you're looking for?
It would be too small with the whole chip landscape, right?
See, it's like we have the Baroque spiral of all the older media. More people are reading. A post-literate society means more people are, quote, literate. All right? More people read. Right, you see in New York, they're all reading on the subway.
Very few people read, though.
No, they read newspapers, though. Maybe not novels, nor mail or something, but they read something. They read little pamphlets. They read their night course material.
Did you see the PBS thing the other Tuesday night on kids online? It was about all kids online. And, like, every single one of them was like, I can't remember the last time I read a book.
That's right. If that was the thing they replayed from the winter...
I think it was where the kids were
causing problems for the other kids. They have an image on the internet, and then the girl got in trouble, and then she
and
got
some
smeared.
Fight and,
stuff. Yeah. I saw that earlier this year. So
what's bringing on our death if it's not going to be the
chip landscape?
And how is that going to do it if it's not energy?
Because it causes efficiency, and then meaninglessness in terms of the old media. The older media gets more frightened, more paranoid, and the older media is manuscript religious cultures, and they start yelling and screaming, demanding nuclear war, which then leads to all kind of the crazy effects I don't have to enumerate that happened in the last 30 years. People hate Reagan, they hate Bush, they hate the fundamentals, they hate all this shit. What?
You need a better word than efficiency, because I don't think it's efficient. What? I got a better computer than,
It's efficient for the machines, not the chemical body. It's efficient for the interaction among machines. The planes go on, they don't crash. The chemical bodies are on there drinking the crappy food on the plane and getting sick from it and going to London, and they land and they get more sick, crappy food. Chemical bodies limping along, being efficiently transported from one place to another, but when they get there, they get in trouble because the chemical bodies contexts.
Right.
Context and issues.
For the machines.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, not for the chemical body.
Right.
And then that isn't efficient for the chemical body cultures, and they say it's shit. We're all a pagan, satanic culture now.
Yeah.
You know, so you get that hallucination going on, and that's projected into the chip void as a meme of disgust.
Let me interrupt. Are you supposed to meet this Charles guy?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock. What time is it?
What time is it? Let's figure it out.
10 to 8.
Yeah, we're okay. He's not coming down till 8.
10 to 8. Okay, 10-minute warning.
Yeah, he should be. He's down there, right?
He's got to get upset again.
He's down.
No, I wasn't on the phone.
It's that high building. Was the high building down there, or did
the building he used to live in was
right
over here.
No, it's a new one. Let me go and look. It's just down here. He should be walking along here. We should see him.